Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to your newest sweet, delectable treat with three homosexuals. It is Tres Leches. How are we doing today?
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Buenas.
Welcome to you out there. I hope you're all doing well. I like to look up when I'm talking to the audience and into the camera when I'm looking at you, but I see them all around, kind of up and to the left, if you will.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys? How was your weekend?
How was my weekend? Oh, I worked a lot this weekend. I was, I'm in Miami. If you cannot see behind me, I am in the most Miami of settings. Do you see this kind of generic Spanish balcony painting? I have frames of, yeah, like it's just, you know, the colors, the warm yellowy walls. This is my grandmother, Georgina, behind me.
Oh, my God.
A portrait of her from, like, probably, I don't know, 1950. And there she is. Mira que glamorous. Está aquí la vieja. Mira, 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 mira.
A ver.
Oh, eso. Wow. Mira, Georgina.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The cut of that dress is stunning.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that great? So I'm in Miami right now, and I'm recording in my Aunt Martha's house, where I stay when I come down here. Look at this picture of my grandparents. This is so exciting for people who are listening to it. My grandmother's wearing, this is when they got married, 1955. And my grandfather would then come to the United States and leave her behind for a few years while he settled and prepared life for her in America.
Oh, wow.
That's such like a PBS special.
Yeah, seriously. What a,
her dress.
Know your roots.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, wait. Now my dog, Diego, come here.
Paused.
Diego, come here. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Diego.
No. Hi, Diego. Diego just wants to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
Diego does want to be on the podcast. Papi, yeah.
The fourth leche.
Let me give him some food. Sorry, guys.
He's like, bitch, I'm hungry.
And I'm going to give him an activity.
I love it.
While you're giving him food, can we? What?
I was just going to say, I love that any Hispanic household has just the old pictures. Like,
Yes, you know. It's true. Like any, it is a staple in any Hispanic household is to, you know, I guess I've seen it in white homes too, but
yeah,
more so in a Hispanic home, you see like the tribute to abuelo and abuela.
Yeah.
Especially in this house, we stand hard for abuelo and abuela in the Falcón family house for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
that's one of my favorite parts about visiting. Hi, I'm good. You're making me miss Miami right now. You're like making me like I'm thinking about my parents. I'm thinking about my mom has this like long coffee table that literally only has frames of the whole family of like me and Sasha when we were kids and like our first headshots, obviously.
Yes.
And then like my abuela and then my grandfather that I never met on my mom's side. And I'm like, I need more of that in my apartment. I don't know if you guys can hear, but there's echo because I'm in my new apartment in New York. And
yes.
Like the pictures that I have are not, I don't have any. And I want more of that. I think that's what's going to help make this a lot homier. And I didn't have enough of it actually in LA. And I clocked that because I would go to all of my friends' house and be like, God, everyone's got like, you know, the classic gay, white framed, you know, with a border pictures of like, that Mykonos trip where the six of us were friends, and now you know it's just three, but I still love that picture. You know what I mean?
We're friends.
That's a great title for a book. Your book.
When the six of us were friends. Oh my God.
Well, you know, yeah, it happens. You know, friendships they end. So
they do,
or they just they you know they if it's inter, how would you say They outer twine. They outer twine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
They dissolve.
Yeah,
they
dissolve.
They devolve, perhaps.
Wait,
they dissolve.
So
the friendships dissolve.
You're in New York.
What?
How do you feel? Because last time we talked, there was a little more, like, there was like a little bit of anxiety. There was, you know, but how are you feeling
a week in? Ooh, I love that. You know, so the recipe is still giving, the base is anxiety. So we've got a base of anxiety, but now we've got... Now we've got some sprinkles of like slight eager excitedness. So if like, you know, when you have that last little bit of salt, it's that. That's the last little bit of eager excitement only because I really kind of, I can't believe I did this, but like I paid for movers to bring most of my shit here. And then I was talking about what I had and my friend was like, why didn't you bring the couch? And I was like, well, I didn't like it. So I knew I was going to get a new one. They're like, right, but you in the interim you were gonna need you should have just brought it. And I had that moment of like that this is truly tangential, but like why didn't I bring my couch? It was Restoration Hardware. I made nothing off of it when I sold it on OfferUp.
That couch was Restoration Hardware.
Yeah, I bought it off of someone else actually, and
they
paid way too much. She was so tiny. It was tiny and like. But it, you know, aesthetically, it did really work for what I needed because I went through an IKEA couch. I got a CB2 couch, which I was like, this isn't it. And then I went back to the IKEA couch and then I found this Restoration Hardware couch from this person. I paid way too much money for it, but it served its purpose. All of that to say, I am feeling excited to make this home a home so that I can sing all the home songs with my full heart, you know what I mean? Right now, I'm not singing home songs. Yeah.
Are you ready to receive me? Are you ready to receive me on Thursday?
Ooh.
Oh my God, that's right. Oh my God, I forgot. Well, and that's another thing is I'm like, baby girl, just be ready. Like, there's no couch. So we have two chairs and the bed is giving. What?
Do you think
there's a fantastic inflatable couch from Amazon.
Do you think I'm like one of those friends who's like, ooh, girl, you need? I'm going to walk in like Nudie Leaks like, that ghetto.
I wouldn't doubt it if there were some echoes of that, Johnny. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It's true. I do sometimes walk into
have
people's houses and I'm like, oh, the dishes. Okay. But what's funny is like my house will look a fucking mess. And I'll go to someone else's house and be like, oh, it's dusty in here.
Unless the dicking is fantastic. Your house better be tidy when I come over.
Actually, even then, if the dicking is fantastic, I judge you a little harder because then I'm upset. I'm disappointed that the apartment isn't matching up to the dicking. Do you know what I mean? So like just be clean. Like match
fantasy.
But do you see what that expectation I put on someone? That's the expectation on me. So I have to just give
but,
myself
you know,
a
Ian,
little space.
I think
space
you got rid of the couch because you do.
What?
I was just saying, I think you got rid of the couch because you just wanted to like, I gotta, I gotta go, I gotta get rid of it. Hey, no puedo más. I'm itchy. The couch in the house, and I'm going to New York. You know what I mean? You weren't thinking, which is fine. I don't think a lot about things myself.
That is the other thing. Yes.
You were just like, oh God, I got this and the towels and this and I got rid of it. And you know, you were just, you were trying to clear the palate.
And exaggerated.
I was definitely trying to clear the palate. That exactly. Literally, that's my mom. When my mom does cleaning in the house, my dad is so funny. It's like the one thing he'll always say. Like, well, you know, when your mother, when she cleans, she just gets rid of everything and like just throws it away. That's her version of cleaning. And I'm like, I've heard that for, you know, 20, however old I am, 27 plus years. But they also
27 yes, plus.
27 plus.
Excuse me.
Oh my God.
Guys.
You're welcome.
You are 27 plus. That is for sure.
I was being accurate. It was a play on age, you know?
Yeah. Key demo, 18 to 49. Just the whole sweep of it.
And anyway, how are you guys doing?
Well, Johnny, I have to say, like this New York trip, this Halloween I don't know. We'd call it a little sojourn, a jaunt over to see Ian. Are you excited about it? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm very. I mean, anytime I can be in New York for more than 5 minutes, I'm excited because there's just so mm-hmm. much that can happen in 5 minutes in New York City, baby. So I'll be there for the weekend. I think also being in Austin has renewed my sense of how much I love New York and how much I want to be back. So I've been having a great time. I had a great weekend. I mm-hmm. was part
of this. Want to be my roommate?
don't be tempting me with things. No, I did like this gala on Saturday and it was great. It was really nice to see the queer community in Austin like show up and like amateur drag doing drag, but also fundraising for a good cause. You know, because I like go to these events like the GLAAD Awards and stuff and it feels very industry, but it's very nice to like be in a smaller city and see how the queer community is like deep and like diverse and excited.
Love that. And doing the hard work. What was the fundraiser for?
So this branch called the Equality Alliance does this benefit called Unite the Fight. And so every year they do fundraising for 4 different charities. And these drag queens that have never performed in drag before, they get dolled up. They do a number. They have like their drag mothers that help them. And then the competition ensues. And it's like, you know, you see everyone. It's very pageant in that way.
We love that.
And I was one of the judges. And, you know.
Naturally.
You know, and it's funny
typecast.
What were you saying?
Would you say that you are more of a Paula Abdul or a Simon?
Okay, so I was a Simon Cowell on the card, but a Paula Abdul to the face. You know, I...
In true Miami style.
Well, because, you know, it's first of all, it's their first time in drag. They're fundraising. And it's a room of 1,500 people. I'm not going to be like, girl, the stockings were not stockinging. You know, like, so.
Yes,
it is a competition. And so on the card, I'm going to judge accordingly, you know.
Oh, yeah, Johnny, exactly. You just tired. Johnny, now let me finish because I let you talk. It's giving.
Oh, my God. Yes. Legendary. You did what needed to be done.
You ate that. Trump, another woman is right. And that story has run stale. Sorry.
Yeah.
Is it the first time that Kiki Palmer has come up on this podcast?
Yes, it is, actually. How have we not talked about our queen?
I mean.
Oh, speaking of, Whoopi Goldberg, Bette Midler, and Kiki Palmer are the three, what?
I think that's fake.
You don't believe it.
Finish what you're going to say. Finish what you're going to say.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
Finish what you're going to say. Finish what you're going to say, please.
Deborah Cox last night posted on her story.
Do you see my face? the statement that he just said.
I do.
Say it again. The whole thing you just said.
Okay. Deborah Cox posted on her story last night a poster of a Sister Act 3 movie that is allegedly coming out featuring Whoopi Goldberg, Bette Midler, and in third billing,
Kiki Palmer.
Uh-huh.
Now, I thought about that, Juan. I thought, well, how do I not know about? I should have known about this before Deborah Cox's grid post about it. Uh-huh. But I missed that, I thought. And then I think that's just, I mean, it's Deborah Cox. Like, she's in the industry. She must know
journalistic
something.
Journalistic integrity like, of Deborah Cox is deep.
I don't know. And so I reposted it. And then I went on Whoopi's... I did my research after I posted. So I was like, let me post it first and then I'll just scream about it later. But then I went to Whoopi's Insta and she was on Jimmy Fallon. I don't know when this interview was, but she talked about like, I read the script today. And so like that was happening. So Juan, like there is a sister. Did you not know a Sister Act 3 was even happening?
No, of course that's happening. And Kiki Palmer on The View was like, I want to be in it. Right. I knew that was all happening. But when Deborah Cox posts that, don't you just go to Whoopi Goldberg's and then you go to Kiki Palmer's and then you go to Bette Midler's and you see that nary of the thrice of them have posted shit? Don't you think, let me, Deborah Cox, who's so amazing. One of the best vocalists of our time, but she's not exactly the most, you know what I mean? Like she's the industry insider.
In that moment, I chose to believe her.
Ian is exactly. A perfect example of how we use the internet because we get so excited or we get so like riled up by something that we're like, I'm posting this. And then like 3 minutes later, we're like, wait,
Deborah Cox.
I love because well, you want yeah, to yeah. be the bearer of the good news.
Of course.
You want to be the one that tells someone that Whoopi Goldberg, Bette Midler, and Kiki Palmer have joined forces to give us the best
That's good news.
Sister act we've ever so, had. It's good
okay,
news.
Okay, so here's my thing, though, is that fine. Yeah. Kiki Palmer on The View was like, ooh, I want to be in it. And it's Neri on thrice of their page. But Bette Midler being added, what? That's so random. Why not, you know, like.
Oh, okay. No, I can see that.
It's just giving dream casting. She's a singer of a certain age who would play who does character roles.
I see.
Whoever created poster on it. Canva, not even a paid version of Canva. It was done like on the free GunCanva.com free trial.
That Deborah person, Cox is like texting someone, hey, can you take that? There's a picture of Whoopi. I want that, but then can you change just to the right? I want Bette in the middle, Kiki on the bottom. I just think it'd be fun. Like, it's just my way of like asking for the, like Deborah did that. She texted someone and that's what she did.
Deborah did that.
I don't know that Deb is responsible, but I do think that a very sweet queer youth from the great state of Ohio did prepare that aforementioned poster and did submit it to the internet. And it was copy and pasted into a group thread that Deborah Cox has since left.
Somehow seen.
Somehow. But yeah, I love, you're so right. There are moments where someone, you know, it's like when, it hasn't happened in a minute, when a celebrity death pops up and you're like, oh my God, RIP, we lost a great one and that person didn't die. Our impulse is they're very much alive and well and living in Paris. Our impulse is to want to share with other people either really good news or really bad news, because that's why I love journalism, and I you know, I'm a journalist, so I'm partial to it, but I love the idea of sharing information with other people, but you know, making sure that people feel like they have the knowledge they need to like go through the world. But that same impulse, be like, yep, share it, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go. And it's also what gave us Donald Trump, baby. We're like, share.
Share.
And that is a
share.
Yes.
Reply.
Yeah.
Go forward. Well, go forward with this retweet.
That's why I don't share a lot. I don't always repost things unless I know they're kind of benign. Like they're
exactly.
And because I do have a fear of being of like posting the wrong thing or someone being like, actually that's fake news. So where I kind of like go, okay, this feels safe, is like things that bring me joy.
Well, Sister Act feels like very much your brand of what you would share. Like that is your,
absolutely.
You are a Sister Act fan. So that if someone's going to share that information quickly, it'll be you. You know?
Yes, clearly. Like, cause I did not do the research.
Oh my God. Today's my dad's birthday. I have to call him.
Oh my God, it's your dad's birthday? Speaking of legends
and Libras.
No, he's a Scorpio.
Oh, it changes on
October. Is your dad a big birthday person? Like if you know, if you don't call him by like 4 p.m., is he going to be pissed?
He won't be pissed, but he will. Even if I didn't call my dad for his birthday, he would pretend like he didn't care, but it would definitely hurt his feelings. And I would never hurt his feelings, you know?
No, of course. Well, happy birthday, Papa.
What is your dad's name, by the way?
Johnny Sibley.
Oh,
Johnny Jr.
What's so fierce, though, I will say, is there's been people that have come up to him in real life, and they're like, oh, your name's Johnny Sibley, like the actor. And he goes, no, no. He's like me. I'm the first. He's the second. I'm like, word.
Okay.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's very, very nice.
Yeah. It gives him a moment to be like,
that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Exactly. Mm-hmm. He feels good when he clears that up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great bit.
Yeah.
I know everyone with whom he's unleashed that bit, they've enjoyed themselves.
I know that.
So I'm a little stuck on Ian talking about 27 plus.
because it brought
me back to when Juan texted us and asked if we had seen The Golden Bachelor, and you know, just thinking about how like, you know, just the joke itself of like well, you know, 27 plus. It's like
the title of my book, The Golden Bachelor.
Period. Oh my God.
Not quite yet.
That would be right. Fun though.
Yeah. You on the a gay bachelor, the first gay bachelor?
Well, I mean, we've had gay bachelors before.
Didn't we do the Prince Charming thing?
We have had gay bachelors. We have had gay bachelors, but it was giving post haste, maybe.
Not quite there yet.
Yeah, no, we have. You're right. We have had a bachelor who is now
Charming, right?
Oh, wait, no.
That we're talking about Colton.
Yeah,
because Colton was the the bachelor. Like Prince Charming is like, you know, when you get Cheerios at the grocery store, and then there's another version which is like O's, you know,
Yeah.
So O's from different area codes.
But wait, so you've watched it?
I have watched it. I have watched it. What's Colton's last name again? God forgive me.
Underwood.
Colton Underwood.
Underwood.
Yeah, I just wanted I wanted to have that straight. So yes. So The Golden Bachelor, I've really, you know, I haven't watched The Bachelor or The Bachelorette outright in a while. I just haven't like sat down to really watch it. I've consumed some viral clips, da 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 da. I kinda care who is The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Like I keep up with it, but I don't sit down to watch it. But The Golden Bachelor excites me because it's so damn cute. Damn. And the promo was just so irresistible.
Yeah.
I was like, I've got to sit down to watch it. And so the premise is, of course, it's all seniors. No longer is The Bachelor a 35-year-old pilot from Ohio, comes from a Christian family with 7 sisters, 14 brothers, 3 of which are former NFL coaches, whose mother is a pastor and a teacher who also discovered Wegovy and Ozempic. I can't remember. I think the Golden Bachelor might be actually from Ohio. I can't recall right now. He's 72 years old, and he is just adorable. He's very, very, very handsome, right? So he is, I think he's very dreamy.
He's from Indiana.
I just don't know a lot of 72-year-old. He's from Indiana. I don't know a lot of 72-year-old men who kind of have his energy, like his voice, God forgive me, not to make this about, his voice sounds so fresh. The way he uses language, he's so excited about life. He's the perfect bachelor because he's so optimistic about his next chapter.
Right.
Even though he's, you know, gone through a lot, right? You know, he lost his wife and
they were, even though he's 80.
Sweethearts. Yeah, right. And they were sweethearts. You know, you can tell that his love for his daughters and his wife, it runs deep.
Yeah.
So he's the perfect bachelor. And then you meet the women, 22 contestants, so dynamic, so fresh, so poised, and every single one of them, the whole lot, is a fox. Like, just every single one, he would be lucky to be with any of those girls.
What I loved about part of
I
watched the first episode was that a lot of these women have watched The Bachelor throughout the years. So like in my head, it was like so nice because it's like all these years, they're like seeing all these young women go and find love. And that, you know, they're probably telling their nieces or their daughters, younger friends, oh, you should apply for The Bachelor. You should go on The Bachelor. But now they have the opportunity to be those girls that are, you know, and now they're older, they're more mature, but they still have an opportunity and a chance to be that it girl for a second, to find love. And I just thought that was such a like cute thing.
It's beautiful.
You know, there's not a single woman from Miami in the lot.
Look, there's a couple Floridians though. There's like a Lake Forest,
there's Delray
Florida,
Beach.
And Deer Park.
There's a Delray
town.
Beach.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a Floridian presence. But so these women are, I think the youngest is 60, or she might be 60. She's either 60 or 61.
Yeah.
And they're all over the place, from all over the countries. It's such a diverse group. Most women are white, but you know, there is some diversity there. And I have always been obsessed with aging my entire life. It's so appropriate that I am recording in front of my grandmother over here over my shoulder, because she always centered, her name was Georgina, And she kind of was obsessed with people knowing people's age and making fun of them for their age. Like, it was just always her thing. Yeah. Like, was she just always asking and guessing? And oh my God, no está casada. Ay, Dios mío, a esta altura se va a casar. It's a Cuban saying when you go like, at these heights, you're going to get married. Like when an old person does something.
Yeah.
I've always been obsessed with age. And when I was a little kid, so Death Becomes Her, the film Death Becomes Her, came into my life at a very early age. And it taught me kind of very quickly, like, what aging is and what beauty is. And I got it. I mean, I think it came out in 1987. I was born in 1987. And I must have watched it before I was four. Because to me, Death Becomes Her is kind of like something that has just come with me my entire life. It's a film with Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn, where these two aging women take a potion to return to their most glorified version of themselves.
Right.
And in turn, try to live forever. So for me, like, I learned, like, girl, stay young, stay beautiful, stay fresh, stay vital. So it's been something, even when I was 16, I was already thinking about the idea of youth. So The Golden Bachelor is particularly meaningful to me. And I was so moved by, devastated, moved, surprised by something that happens on the show. Multiple of these beautiful contestants, the women, have said the same thing. And now the preface, the important thing is that they are all the best version of what they are. This is television, right? So the casting department found the 65-year-old who looks 55 and who's got perfect teeth and great hair. They're all well put together. They can all dress. They have wonderful families and great stories, and they're educated and they're kind. There are no gag gifts in the lineup, right? Everyone there is a truly eligible and perfect choice.
Yeah.
So I was shocked when you hear them say, and it happened multiple times, when you hear them say, I haven't had a man look at me like this in 15 years. I can't remember the last time I felt seen or beautiful.
Right.
And they are objectively like beautiful women. They're not, it's not up for debate. They're like the best version. Tits up to here, size 8 through 12 only, you know, great fashion, obviously have money, the whole thing. And it was sad. I cried. I've cried every episode multiple times, but I cried everything. But I've cried a lot because now that I am 36, nearing 37, which I know a lot
plus.
Of people feel very comfortable. A lot, exactly. I know a lot of people in their mid-30s are like, yeah, I'm 37, I'm 38, 40s never felt better, 50, whatever. I'm still, you know, it costs me a little bit of money. I have to take a little bit of cash out of my wallet every time I say my age. I feel like my bank is a little bit emptier. So there is something sad about the fact that these women haven't felt beautiful or special in a long time because of their age. But it's also equally important that we have, you know, young people, because the demographic that watches The Bachelor and now The Golden Bachelor is a lot of young people, that they're seeing the glory that is possible. I didn't have a vision for what it was to look. I didn't have a vision for what it was to be vital and have newness in your 70s and 80s, because my grandparents, especially my grandmother, was very tied to the vanity or the loss of her good looks. She was always showing her picture to people when they came over to say, mira, tú eres 15. I was 15 too. I was 15 too. You know, like, she was so, and I put that in my emotional backpack, and the Golden Bachelors helped me kind of unlearn that, even though, of course, Jane Fonda, and there's so many examples, but they're celebrities. Sweet ladies.
But it's always compared to she's aged gracefully, or like she's gotten better. Like, you know, there's, because like you grew up, like you mentioned Death Becomes Her, like you grew up watching this idea that like everyone's chasing that fountain, you know, and even though there's like a good message to be learned about like how that's not, you don't really, like a lot of people don't really get that far. They're just as far as, oh yeah, death or not, like old means death. Yeah. Like, especially as gay men, there's like, there's always jokes. Like there was a joke in JVN's show last night that Jared, the opener, said, you know, and it was a funny joke about, you know, seniors. I've been in a room with seniors, and then the joke was, you know, they were all over 30. Because especially for gay men, life after 30 is crypt keeper to a lot of people. But then you get to 30 and you're like, wait a second. I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, I feel so fab at my age because I know more. I have more money. I might not be able to snap back from a cinnamon bun as fast as I used to when I at 23, but
on God.
But you know, there's in the brain to me gets so much better, but it's just the exterior that deteriorates a little bit. So like, and I say deteriorate because that's literally what happens.
I don't know
as
what
we get
you're
older.
Talking about. I actually, I can't share in that experience at all. What do you mean the what deteriorates?
The body, babe, we're bananas, okay? And we just, we're avocados. And after a certain time, you just can't eat the avocado anymore because, you know what I mean?
You gotta throw it out, babe. I'm like, I'm kind of like a worm. Like anything that you cut off, I just regenerate.
Okay.
So I just come back.
She's still lost.
Like nothing ever happened.
She's still lost in the youth of it all.
Yes, I watched. I too grew up with Death Becomes Her, and I took it a little too seriously. I've been tuning in.
I would say the same. the ending is supposed to make the ending of the movie is supposed to. They've taken the potion and now they live forever. They've been able. And she says to them after they take the potion, she says, "Take care of yourself." What does she say, Ian? Take care of yourself.
She
You're
says,
going to be.
You and your body are going to be together for a very long time.
Oh.
Now a warning.
Take care of yourself.
Now a warning. So you know, so they of course they kill each other, so their bodies start to decompose, and the lesson that you're supposed to get is you don't want to live forever, age gracefully. And my twisted mind, that's the lesson. And what I took is, oh, you just got to take really good care of yourself. You just got to make sure to really not make any mistakes and keep. Make sure the upkeep is upkeeping. That's the lesson I took.
But you know what's funny?
I
interviewed the old gays last year, and it was such a fascinating conversation because a lot of my questions were
so great.
You know, what do you have to say to a young 20-something tweet that says, you know, old people, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, I don't know what they're saying because, you know, just sex alone, like we have more sex now in our 80s than we ever did when we were 30s, 40s, or 20s. I was like, and my head was exploding because I was like, wait, what do you mean? Like, I thought, because growing up, my parents would always be like, yeah, we're like, after a certain age, you just don't want to have sex anymore. Whereas the old gays were like, no. When, at our age, we're just showing up naked to the party because it's clothing optional and we're just getting right to business. There's no pussyfooting around what we're there to do. But I'm just like, oh, wow, I thought I would have like a sexless life after a certain age. And it's just so, that's why I think things like the Golden Bachelor, the old gays, like it's so fierce. Or like even Cher dating a much younger man. I'm like, this is so fierce to like rewrite this narrative. Oh, you seem surprised that Cher's dating a much younger man. Did you not know that?
Wait, currently?
Did you not know?
Currently, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Currently.
Wait, hold on. See, I forget his name. You didn't share it on your story, so how do I know? Where am I getting my news, guys?
It's a good point. You've got a good point.
Actually, this brings me back, Juan. I forget when, but like a few years ago, or you know, even like in the last year, you're always very good about posting news that, like you said, is worth sharing, that you want people to have a knowledge of. I would like you to do that more. I feel like, because I trust you, and I feel like the news you post or what you think is important for us to hold on, everybody. Class. Johnny's pixelated video, which I can't really.
That's Cher.
I think I see Cher, and then I see a tall Anderson Cooper with like Matrix glasses type
Anderson
person.
Cooper.
He's like, no. He's no, my one.
He's 36 and she's 76.
Ese muchacho se parece a... No, he's black.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just,
well, in the
pixelation
of what I'm seeing. And the twist,
the Wi-Fi
he's blind.
Is, the Wi-Fi
I mean,
is
black.
50,
I mean,
50
he's
years
gay.
Plus.
No, 40 years. There's literally a 40-year age difference. So she's 76, he's 36. Really? And I feel like that, because there's been so much. I mean, we've seen older men date younger women all the time. But I feel like it's so great to see a woman, especially someone like Cher, who's constantly being talked about because of her surgeries and this, that. But to be mama in that way is so hot.
Like, well, you're
right. She
just
came out with a Christmas album, by the way. Throwing that out there.
It hasn't come out yet.
The album has not come out yet, but Home.
Wait, yes. What?
Scott, someone sent it to me last week. It's
oh
here,
my God,
right?
It's available. Yeah, it is available.
See, Deborah Cox isn't lying. Justice for me and Deborah Cox, okay?
Yeah, Cher did release her justice for Deborah Cox. She's also asking for justice, as are her agents.
What I do find interesting, though, is because, you know, she is 76 and he's 36. I'm just like, I try and think about that, like, dynamic at dinner, like, you know, because there's, you know, like, what do you think about that? Like, because I don't, you know, so when I'm on a date and I'm like, oh, someone's 26, I'm always like, huh, okay. Maybe I go in with preconceived notions, but like, I have a lot of 26-year-old friends, but like, to date, I don't know that that's, you know, the...
You know, I think you were going to say something. I am not that Juan Torres Falcon. I do not really have that much of a problem with people dating much outside of their age range. I've had terrific dates with people in their early 20s. I'm not married to those people, but we've had really good dates. And I can totally see how someone in their 70s would be fine with someone in their 30s or their 20s. I think it can get... I don't like when a person... only dates people who are 40 years younger. That's red flaggy to
that's
me, right? Like
patterny, like
yeah. It just feels like, oh, so you just want like a blow up doll, especially when men do it, right? You just want like a young thing.
Yeah,
but you know, people fall in love with whomever they fall in love, and I think it's possible. I caution. I think it's an easy take sometimes that people love to throw around. Like, I have to what. What does they have in common with someone who's 50 Ooh, years older than them?
Yeah.
Who the hell knows? You don't know.
That's true.
What do you have in common with your ugly ass boyfriend who doesn't cut his toenails? You know, I don't know. But
or sometimes
you,
it's
you
from
seem to
people
be, you seem
who
to making
aren't
it work.
Even in relationships. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
On that part.
Most
that
times.
Part. That part.
Most times.
Yeah. But you're right. I have been on dates.
Yeah.
And I'm one shot because I really haven't dated a lot of older men.
Yeah.
But I have dated a few. I'm mostly dated myself or younger, my age or younger, I should say.
Yeah.
But I have had dates where I'm like, yeah, we don't really have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's funny.
But I know that age was the main contributing factor to that.
I think maybe the way that the reason I feel that way, like, you know, when I see someone like 25, 26, I'm like, I've always gravitated toward older or men that are older than me because I love the idea of gaining knowledge from someone who's lived longer. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, and you know me, I love to give advice. I love to, you know, even if you don't ask for it. And so, but sometimes I'm like, what am I going to learn from someone younger than me? And I think that, of course, is a very silly thing to think because people live different lives no matter what age they are. So like, I can actually learn a lot,
you do.
Maybe. Or I can also learn a lot about myself from dating someone that's younger. It's just something that I've not done, so it's like very easy for me to be like, oh, that probably wouldn't work because I haven't tried it. You know, and also there's like a stigma now where it's like, you can't, you know, it's like, don't date someone too much younger because like you're, you know, I don't know, it's like
the power dynamic.
Yeah, the power dynamic. And I'm like, well, yeah. I don't know, sometimes I felt super powerful when I was the younger one, but maybe that's just the way I felt.
Exactly.
You know,
but it is nice. But this is, you know, I think it's in also a large part why I think that having the first golden bachelor date and see women that are from
that are within his zeitgeist, that they are his contemporaries. Some are, you know, 60 is, some would argue, is not his, totally his contemporary, right? 60 is a little young, perhaps 61. I think Joan, one of the contestants who had to leave early because her sister, her daughter had a baby and it was like a high risk pregnancy. And I think that she could have won actually if she'd stayed, but it's also like, of course she would have won. She would have won. She's 60 years old.
But maybe she'll be the golden bachelorette.
And he was like, his eyes were falling out of his head. That's what I, yes, that's what I have been expecting. But it's nice to see him date women who have a similar shorthand. He's, you know, as a widower, to be, have other widows to empathize with, because he really actually gets what they're going through. They have grown children. They have they're retired. They've had businesses. Now they're at a similar place in life. And that's nice. You know, I was always kind of afraid that like my taste in men would not age with me. But it has. Like, I've gone on some fantastic, let's call them dates, with this 23, 22-year-old, beautiful, let's call them men from Bushwick.
Yes.
Let's, who are of a certain age. And they have been fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, they have. But I have had
sometimes
the best dates sometimes. Uh-huh. All the time. Sometimes.
All the time.
But I have definitely, my taste has aged with me, and I'm happy to say that, because it makes this journey look brighter.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've realized that without even doing any work, like the men who I'm attracted to are men who are in similar places in my life. The guy that I'm dating right now, who asked if he was going to be talked about on the podcast.
Here's your spot, baby.
He did. He did. He said, he's like, are you gonna mention me on the podcast? And I said, at first, very generally, yes. Maybe with more details later. He said, oh, okay, I don't mind. And he goes, you can tell how big my dick is. <He's> like,
work.
Which, now I've said it.
Yeah.
Consensual.
Because we don't say that he hits you.
As long as it's consensual.
Now we said it. That's a Real House of Beverly Hills reference. He does not hit me. It's just talking about our dear girls from season one of Beverly Hills. But he did ask me about that. But anyway, so this guy that I'm meeting, he is a little bit older than me. We're both born in 1987. And it feels very natural. It feels like we have so much to talk about because we have the same references.
Yeah, yes, that's so far.
And that feels
both,
so,
you know.
It's like sexy in a different way. It's like sexy, you know, I actually love like looking at men my age or older and like seeing age appear on them. Like I love like a laugh line. I love like a little, you know, I just love like a chest of a 30-year-old man, like 30-something-year-old man. Like it just feels
the sun,
different.
The
like
sun
it's
damage.
It's just a little more weathered, and I love that. But like not weathered in a way that's like scary, you know. But I feel like as I get older, that will be something that continues to be exciting. And then you have, you know, the hot Ferrari that drives by, and you're like, oh, I want to take a ride on or in that.
Del año, un carro nuevecito del año, baby.
You know,
oh my god!
But that's the thing.
Right off the dealership,
you could just be a car connoisseur. You might like just a little different type of drive. You want a vintage moment. You want a new electric.
And I just hope that I saw someone that tweeted something really hilarious. One of the women from The Golden Bachelor said, I haven't had a man look at me like this in 15 years. And then Googled it and she was like, her husband died in 2015. there.
That's tea.
I want to grow older with someone who makes me feel vital and seen and beautiful and not young, but just alive.
Yeah.
And I hope that for a lot of the young desired, and I hope that for a lot of the young people who are watching this show, it's an incredible performance among key demographic, like 18 to 49, like the ratings. at least its debut, and we'll see how it does throughout the season. But I hope that it inspires us to look at the older people in our lives with more kindness, not even romantically, but people who we interact with at work, mm-hmm. and to mm-hmm. be nice to when you see someone who really put their back into their whole outfit. Be like, Corey, you look beautiful today.
Oh, yeah. So nice.
You look beautiful today. You know, yeah. like your lipstick yes. looks amazing.
Ugh.
And I know that it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
There's an Instagram account where it's this guy, he's out in LA, and he interviews like older people in Los Angeles. And one of them is this big blonde bombshell. She kind of looks like Dolly Parton, but it's like, you know, even older than Dolly. Mm-hmm. And she's like all done up, and she's got this big blonde hair, and she says one of the sweetest. She's, you know, he's like, what are your tricks to looking beautiful? Like, what do you, you know, what? She goes, well, makeup takes a lot longer now, and I will really have to give myself a lot more time. She goes, but it's worth it. It's still worth it. And I just loved, you know, she talks about like, I mean, she goes on and talks about all of the little things that she has to do now to put on eyeliner now yeah. that her eyelid hangs lower, and that her lipstick runs outside of her lip, that how she lines it. It's just, it was beautiful. And it's like, yeah, you know what? We're all going down, but let's go down fighting.
yeah.
Let's try to feel our best for as long as we can.
And yeah. like, absolutely.
Be, and like, whatever that means yeah. to you, like,
for you, exactly. Yeah. For me, you know, that could be staying nimble, being athletic, whatever it is. And I don't feel discarded. You know, I was asking this friend of mine who I work with here, and he was saying, as a gay man in my mid-30s, I kind of feel discarded. And I said, I really don't feel discarded at all. I feel so
Wait, who said that?
Vital. I don't want to say their name. But they're gorgeous, and they said that, and I said, I don't feel that way at all. I feel so vital and so fresh, but I think...
It depends also on where you're going to get your validation, because you could feel discarded by
sure.
a certain either demographic or kind of person mm-hmm. that you're seeking, you know, and like from what I hear from you, yeah. it's like you do enjoy, you know, men your age and things, so like maybe it's just, sometimes I always wonder, like, where are you going to seek this love that you... feeling like it's not there, you know?
Yeah.
What were you gonna say, Ian?
I think that's I love that. That question alone is every day. Like, where are you going to seek your love? You know, mm-hmm. first off, seek it with yourself, first off. But that is an important mm-hmm. question, is I just love that. I'm gonna take that. That's a
Barb.
I don't know what that, you know, what? Barbara Walters.
Barbara Streisand has this thing that she says in her like millennium concert. She's like, you know, you get to a certain age and you can't sing the same songs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't sing "I could be happy" or "I could be sad."
Oh,
I could be
yeah,
evil,
yeah, yeah.
Or "I could be mad." It all depends on you. Depends on you. and it's true. Like at some point, it's like, yeah, you. Right now, like I will say, I will admit to this that I have always kind of found a lot of like purpose and joie de vivre in men and whoever I'm dating. Like yeah. I love dating. So like I find a lot of purpose in that. But as you get older, you really have to realize that your happiness cannot rely on the whims of a man or a woman.
Of course. Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know,
wait.
I just can't.
Now that we've mentioned like the getting.
Baby, I've been hitting those WHs hard this episode. Okay. I've been going white, whim, quenched.
The idea of where you go to get your validation is, I wanted to bring up one of our listeners' request of topic to bring up.
I'm sweating.
They said, you know, what are our thoughts on straight men flirting with gay men and how we feel about that? And I thought it was like such a good little tie-in because we talked about where you go to seek your validation. And sometimes... straight men go to seek their validation from gay men, but it's always like a weird thing because it's like, how does that make you feel? I don't, like, I just want to throw that out there.
May I ask? We don't know anything about this person. We don't know their age, right?
No. It was a blank profile.
It was a blank.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, I can say their Instagram names, so they get like a little shout out.
The wording.
How
do we feel about it?
No. VMK underscore Cosarts said straight, and it's in, you know, straight guys who flirt too damn much and all the feels that come with being his plaything.
Oh, okay.
And all the feels with becoming their plaything. Well, this sounds more than just flirting.
Exactly.
Well, straights was it. But that's also that could be an argument for, like, are you reading too much into straight male kindness? You know what I mean? Like,
correct. Allow straight men to be nice to you. It's like, let him not need to be inside of you if he's being nice. But this seems like there could be a little bit more here.
Yeah.
My advice to this person would be, if you are a gay person, you are a gay cis male living at the end of the millennium, actually no, now 23 years into the new millennium.
Yeah.
I would suggest that you avoid dating and having sex with straight people if you can't handle that. If people who claim that they're straight, so someone flirts with you and he's like, he's got a girlfriend, he wants to have sex with you, and it's just a romantic entanglement and you can keep it just at that, I mean, or a sexual entanglement, then fine. But if you have this tendency to catch feelings because you're like not over the fact that you want the fantasy of dating a straight man, if you can't, you should just be with gay men. You are a gay man. Love yourself enough to just be with gay men.
Kind of get off the floor.
Yeah, right? Maybe don't be having sex with this person anymore. If you don't want to be a plaything, don't put yourself. What?
Yeah. No, because that's assuming that they've already gone that far. But when straight men, I mean, there are certain straight men that know that they're going to get a specific kind of validation from gay men, even if they don't want to sleep with them. Even if they're just like, this is going to give me the dopamine hit that I need for the day.
Oh, I see. And like,
I would love to know, like, as men who have maybe gotten flirted with by straight men, when do you think there's the line to be crossed of like, okay, this is cute, this is annoying?
I see what you mean. I think it's kind of fun. Okay, this might be controversial, but I'm putting myself like in a situation. We're at a bar. We're like at an event or something, and I'm with you two. Let's just say, and then like a guy who we know to be straight, but we're like, we think he is, and then we maybe find out from others that like he has a tendency to flirt with gays. But just so you know, like someone comes over and is like, he did this to me last week, but. I would find that very fun because I would want to do my own research, and I really do. What?
Let's roll. I just want to role play for a sec.
Okay, great.
So I'm gonna play the straight man.
Sure.
And you know, I will try.
Wait. We're role playing. I want some popcorn. Fit up.
I'm at the bar. We're at the bar. I have my girlfriend next to me.
Okay, and then Juan and I say, oh hi. Have my popcorn.
And I go, I have my drink in my hand. I'm like, Ian, you look so fucking cute today. Like, what? Like, look at your ass. What do you say to that?
Thank you. These are actually brand new pants. That's so sweet of you. I wish a gay person noticed, but I'm happy someone is. So, thanks.
Oh.
What are you drinking, by the way?
I love. You know what I would have said?
I thought you were asking what Johnny was drinking. It's so real.
And this is what I love about flirtation with straight men is you always get to have the upper hand as a gay man to test how much, bitch, you want to flirt with me. I would say if a straight man said, oh, your ass looks good today, I'd be like, my ass looks actually grab it. Grab it. Like,
see, okay, but feel, you feel did that. This. Okay, we talked about this last time, and you my were talking about your witty banter. Your witty banter. Would you really? You wouldn't do that, though. You would not have to step away from the mic.
when it comes to that, yeah, when it comes to straight men that want to flirt with me, baby, I'm always going to take it a little step further. I promise you that, because one thing it is, if you throw it first, I'm going to catch it and I'm going to throw it right back at you.
So are you doing it because you are calling their bluff, or because you, do you know what I'm saying? Like, are you doing it because of that, or are you doing it because you actually want them to?
Both. Because if a straight man is flirting with me, I'm going to show, bitch, you're not doing that much to me. I know you think flirting with a straight man is probably going to give me some kind of like little tingly, and bitch, you won't see it though, because I'm going to throw you back a little bit of so does yours, or like, you know, just something to get them like off kilter a little bit. That meme of the kid that's like,
yes, I love it. Oh my God, I love that meme.
See, yeah, I guess I like that. I would probably not do it in front of the girlfriend. I'd like wait until she went to the bathroom, and then I would do it behind her back.
Oh, sneaky.
You see, but
I just want you to know, if you do want to go through with it, Ian,
you can. Kind of does.
Correct. We can keep it.
Sneaky little minx. What were you saying, Juan?
No, I was saying that, you know, I feel like Ian is particularly I think the fantasy of a street man is a little bit more sexy to you.
Alluring.
Than it might be for John. Uh-huh. You're alluring.
I think there's definitely...
drag her.
No, listen, I would say...
Like for you.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I definitely think it's... something I'm working on, and I'm talking about it in I really am, because I just, you know, I just want to wear like loud colors, and I just wish like I could just own my gayness a little bit more. So I think I'm trying to be more straight in the world, and then if I'm more straight in the world, then like I'll be more acceptable by other gays or something, you know, like that thing that some of us do. I also do just happen to look good in like a Club Monaco outfit you see on you know, the basic moments
on it.
But I think I will say that I think that your line delivery of I wish it was a gay man saying it is kind of nice, because it also keeps the power with you, because you're not really like showing him like that affected me, like you're just like, mm-hmm. That's nice for you of you to say, I wish a man that actually wanted to have sex with me would say that.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a different kind of power yeah. play that you're doing.
What about you,
Juan? How would you?
How would I respond? I would say, do the whole thing again for me again, please. So I can try to do it in real time.
I'm miming popcorn.
Like, hey, Juan, there's my guy.
Hi.
What's up? Oh, turn around. Yeah, let me see. Are those True Religion? Your ass looks really good.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. From you. That means quite a lot.
That's what I would do.
Because I'm a skank.
Work. I just threw my invisible popcorn.
Yeah. Because you know what? Yeah, exactly. I would say that the thrice of us all have healthy relationships with straight male contemporaries.
Absolutely.
You, Ian, especially does. Yeah.
I love it.
No.
I really do.
No, actually, healthy relationships. Oh, okay. He does. He really does.
Oh, okay.
Really do.
His relationship with his friend Jacob Pinion, that's an enviable friendship. Everyone should be lucky to have a friendship like that. It's really lovely.
Yeah, it is very sweet.
Not a lot of people get that. And a lot of gay men, a lot of queer people do not feel comfortable around, do not have any, not that they don't feel comfortable, they don't have any straight people around them that make them feel comfortable.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, well, that. And to have someone who you can count as like, a friend and confidant, that's more than an ally, even more than an ally, a true deep friend.
That's
a very
nice sweet
thing.
Thank you.
It's true.
Thank you. Yeah. That's sweet.
And I will say, sometimes as straight men, like, you know, it's like insects. They're more afraid of you than you are of them. You know what I mean?
Which, correct. You're right.
You
it's
know?
Like pit bulls.
It's like
when
you see a motorcycle on the street.
They are afraid.
Yeah, when you see a motorcycle on the street in your car, you're like, "Ooh, bitch, I'm not going to be the one." Like, you know, it's all relative. And I think, you know, have fun with flirting, but also if you need a boundary, put a boundary up, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also don't assume that he's completely straight. there are many bisexual men in this country and who are becoming more bisexual people who are becoming more comfortable. Little one, I'm making this person young. it's easier to give advice to. You know, to just ask, who knows?
Yeah. And I say, I feel like that's just, that's been like the theme of this episode really is like, you don't, you, if you don't see it, you can't believe it, in the sense that like, if you don't see older people aging and dating and living, you can't believe it. If you can't see bisexual people living, breathing, flirting thing, you can't believe it. If you don't see the Whoopi Goldberg, you know, poster
and Kiki Whoopi Goldberg, Kiki Palmer, and the aforementioned Bette Midler, who are supposed starring in the aforementioned movie musical.
Vehicle.
How can you believe it, you know? But yeah, I think that's a great question. I'm so happy that they submitted it. Please submit more questions or topic ideas or anything you really want to talk to us about at tresleches@gmail.com.
I just want to say one little thing, that say, when you have this conversation, little one, to this person, you have to be really ready to decide on your boundary setting or ending it, because in some way if this has been going on for a while, it's going to feel counterintuitive to stand up for yourself, confront him with what you're coming up with, because it may end this thing where you are getting something from it. As is it Ayanla, there's this interview where she had, you know, she had a live show where she talks to someone in the audience, and they, you know, the first question she asked when she was like, I went through a whole couple of years, you know, 10 years with my partner, and I got out of that relationship and blah, 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 blah. And she brings up to her that, like, but throughout that entire, I'm glad you are where you are now, but when you were there, you were getting something. There was something that you were getting something out of it. And so I just want to say, little one, that you're going to have to come to terms with, like, saying goodbye to your own dopamine rush that you're getting from this interaction with this person in the way that it has been. So just be prepped for that, because that's really hard. I've had to, you know, that's like when you break up with someone, that's when you set a boundary in general. So it's, I just am warning you that it's going to feel intense in your body. And, I wish you all the luck with, like, standing hard in your choice.
Yeah, and sometimes when you stand hard in your choice, it'll feel good in your body. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was yelling. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I just get very passionate.
You weren't yelling. You weren't yelling.
Hey, you weren't yelling.
You weren't yelling.
On that piece of advice, I hope that everyone goes through their week enjoying their boundaries, enjoying all the things. If you haven't watched Golden Bachelor, please watch it.
I know. I gotta watch now.
Yeah, I know. I gotta
watch. We hope you've enjoyed this delectable slice of Tres Leches, and we'll see you next week.
I'm so excited.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Tiki, tiki. Bye. Ciao, ciao. Que la pasen bien.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.